Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance being joined right now by former Houston Astro pitcher Bud Norris, back on the show with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Bud, what up?
Johnny, Lance, been too long, guys. How are you?
Man, been forever. All right, through your trails throughout Major League Baseball, I mean, you had quite a few stops and did that. You had a nice career, finished up as a closer. Not so bad. Tell us about your travails throughout Major League Baseball. Where was, after you left here, where was the best place to play?
Well, Johnny, I mean, honestly, Houston was my first home. Getting drafted by the Astros was a dream I always wanted, and making the big leagues with the Astros and having a pretty good run with them was definitely the highlight of my career and what I call my first home in city. But honestly, when I got traded to Baltimore, that was an exciting time for me, too. I got traded to a contender, and the next year we had a great playoff push. We won the division, and that those memories I'll take with me. But as you know, I jumped around those last couple of years, and you learn a lot. You get to see a lot of the internal operations from a couple of different clubs. But my last year in St. Louis was pretty special. I made the full transition to closer, and was learning how to be able to do that on the fly every day. You have more of a feel with the team every day. You definitely have a lot more control in the game every day. And, really, really enjoyed my time in St. Louis as well. But that fan base is special, and just had a great year.
Bud Norris with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So what are you doing now? Where are you living?
John, I'm up in Austin, Texas. Luckily enough, my Round Rock AAA baseball team, the Astros, is up here in Austin, and I truly fell in love with this city. And I bought a home up here back in 2014 and remodeled it, and I've been out here since about N18, and man, I couldn't tell you how much I love it up here.
You're not weird enough. You're not weird enough for Austin.
You don't know that.
I know, Bud. He's like not that weird.
I like to think so. No, pretty normal California guy in Texas. One of the many now.
Yeah, one of the many. Now, have you thought about maybe selling your home for about $25 million to somebody from California?
I've gotten
so that's what it's going for now?
it's up there. I can't say what number, but it's definitely up there.
Well, Austin is California now with all with everything that's going on, if you want to know the truth. So what you doing?
Yeah.
You doing anything with Round? What are you doing with Round?
So, I'm in Austin. Technically, I'm on the water. But, I've been doing a lot of film for Opic here in town. I'm working with a group called RBI Austin, which does inter-mentoring-ship programming for girls and boys based around baseball and softball. Major League Baseball backs this program around the country. But as you guys know, here in Austin, we don't have a Major League Baseball team. But we do have a very, very strong chapter here. And I've been involved with that for the last couple of years. I've done some tree planting stuff as far as just doing stuff around the local community. But I did latch on with a company based out of Sweden. I am working on the baseball environment. Basically, what it's called biocentric lighting. So it's a very new health format for offices and for high-profile personnel. So I'll tell you more about it later. I don't want to get a sales pitch online. I want to talk about baseball.
Environment and tree planting. Boy, you are from California.
Hey, I want to ask Bud about what John and I just talked about, the new, about how baseball, one of the things that's happened over about the last, I don't know, John, it feels like just 3 years, last 3 or 4 years, is the strict adherence now to pitch counts and innings for starting pitchers. And I don't know if it's with, it's probably a combination of health, arm health, and then also, of course, the ability to have pitchers become a bigger factor, same as load management in basketball, where you want guys to be more of a factor late in the year. How much, when you were pitching, Bud, how much was that a consideration at any of your stops where teams were starting to look at pitch counts and inning counts? Was that something that was popping up even when you were pitching?
Yeah, I think it really does start at the little league level, and you're just trying to watch people as they grow and develop. And even at the college level, they monitor that a lot. But they really do a good job in the minor leagues. I remember the Astros did a good job with me from injury prevention. I came back in my double-A season after tweaking my elbow, and they wanted to build me back up. You don't want to just go out there and start, airing out bullets and potentially hurting yourself again. But what's interesting to see at the big league level is the way, under my impression, is that by the time you get to the big leagues, you should be ready. If you're a starter, your job is 30 starts, and you got to go out there, pitch 6, 7, 8 innings, give us 100, 110 pitches. And obviously you pass the ball off to the bullpen from there, and that's a consistent winning formula. But I agree that the game's getting younger, and that's a great, great combination for us. But that being said, these guys need to come in prepared and be alarmed of how to take care of their bodies and their arms so that they don't hurt themselves. So I think tracking pitches, tracking numbers, tracking, you know, exertion is something that they should do and continue to monitor. And I just think the best thing for the player, the pitcher himself, is to be honest. There's a big difference between good pain and bad pain, especially when it comes to your arm. And you just got to be honest with your training staff and your pitching coach to work through that. Because, once again, baseball season is not a sprint. It's a marathon. And you really want to be even better back in October than you are in April. So I think there's a big curve there, a big learning curve. And you really just got to take care of your body.
Bud Norris with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Bud, we just had a discussion about the shift. Should they ban it? I think it sucks, but you know what? It's easy to get out of it. Just hit the ball the other way. What are your thoughts about the shift and how it's hurting baseball?
Yeah, you know, I saw a lot of it in Houston. We, you know, with Jeff Luhnow, our general manager, coming over from St. Louis, we did try a lot. You know, we had Carlos Daniels on our team, and we saw it on the other side too. So, in my honest opinion, it changed the game rapidly more than we were ready for. So, when you were seeing full shortstops or third basemen deep in right field, it's just something we hadn't seen before. And I think Major League Baseball did a good job on it. I personally didn't like it. And I think when you saw some of the older ball players kind of park back and Joey Gallo and some other guys talking about the shift and how they couldn't get hits. Well, you're right. There's left field's fair, right field's fair. You know, you got to hit to both sides of the field, you know, spray the ball around and get the ball in play. Good things happen when you hit the ball. And I think that's what I'd like to see. I want to see defense again. I want to see more web gems. And if we're taking away base hits that have been base hits for 80 years, it changes the appeal of the game and the strategy. So I'm kind of happy. You know, we can still shift. You just can't go across the bag. You know, you can cheat the shortstop up the middle. You just can't have him on the other side. So I personally liked it. I think it's fair for the game. It's fair for how we've been playing for over 100 years.
As a pitcher, did you dislike it because you had to pitch inside?
No, I wouldn't say I dislike it. It just situationally, it hurts you sometimes. For me, John, a lot of the times, if there is zero outs or one out and a runner on first base, and I had a little left-handed, like, two-hole hitter up, you know, he's trying to hit that ball through the four-hole. And you can't shift in a situation like that back in the day, and they're not going to shift in there as much. So there is a lot of strategy behind what pitches to make when you know the shift is on and when the shift is off. And sometimes they move different in counts, so you don't always have that information out there when you're pitching. So it definitely changes just the way you attack hitters, but for the most part, you got to pitch inside no matter what.
Bud Norris, our guest, former Astros pitcher, and the guy's been a starter, a reliever. When your career was over, Bud, was there ever a thought that maybe you would have liked to have been a reliever, a closer earlier in your career, or taking a look at that earlier because it would have extended it, or maybe it would have given you a different perspective at the end of your career than you had at the beginning? What was your thoughts about going into the bullpen initially and then once you were finished with the game?
Well, when I got drafted by the Astros, they had mentioned to me that they don't know what they want me to do as far as starting and relieving, and I had the chip on my shoulder that I wanted to be a starter. I wanted to get to the big league and prove that I could start. But there was always something in the back of my head that said, you know, I know I'm going to be good down there, and when I need to make that transition, I'll be open to it. So it did happen a little bit later in my career when I got to Anaheim and so whatnot. So, I mean, I agree with you. If I maybe made the transition a little bit earlier, I could have hung around and had a few more years in the back end of a bullpen somewhere. But all in all, I'm so happy with the career I had, and I got to play as long as I did. My childhood dreams came true, and I met so many incredible people like yourself, John, and people going around, you know, my life. I just think of all the good memories that I had in the game, and very, very happy for it. So, like I said, that last year in St. Louis, 28 saves and 32 opportunities was something I never really thought I would even have the opportunity to do. So I'm thankful for that and happy about it.
Incredible
people like John.
Yeah, like John. Incredible
that's
people.
First, that, yeah, I couldn't, he's a special one, Lance. He's a special
you
one.
See
is
that?
Is he?
Suck on that, Art. Suck on that, Art. Incredible people like me. Hey,
wow.
Bud, how much did you have to defend the Astros after the scandal?
A fair amount. A fair amount. And, you know, obviously that hurt me in a way, too. I worked for years for the Houston Astros, and we weren't that good of a team, if you remember. And go to the ballpark every day in that environment is very challenging, and I'm very proud of Mr. Crane and the job that they've done by turning that whole organization around and the draft and the minor leagues and everything they've done. So I actually attended Game 6 of the World Series last year. I was hoping the Astros could have pulled that one out. But that being said, it was very challenging. I think Altuve is one of the best hitters in the game. Regler's a great hitter. These guys are great hitters. And for them to have that advantage and such a heightened awareness of, in the playoffs, essentially, it hurts. So I definitely wanted to defend them and say, hey, guys, it's still that hard. They still got to go do it. They were doing it every day. It wasn't an everyday situation. But that being said, I think Major League Baseball interfered and got in there and talked it through and figured it out. And going forward, there's a lot of stuff that happens on the field to try to get an edge, but that was really pushing it too far. But that being said, you're trying to do anything you can to win, and it is what it is, and it's past us. It's history now. I just want to move forward and make sure that we keep the integrity of the game and don't make decisions like that going forward.
How can the Astros let – you got a number one overall pick. He's been fantastic, won you a championship. He's the leader in your locker room. How do you let that guy go?
You don't. I know Carlos. Carlos was the first-round pick when I was the opening day starter. Carlos is an incredible human being. He has a heart of gold. He is loved that city. And once again, when he was a young 18-year-old boy from Puerto Rico, the Houston Astros gave him that opportunity. I promise you, in his heart of hearts, in his mind of minds, he's going to be like a bad one of Biggio. I want to play my whole career here. So, in my honest opinion, I would love to see him come back. I would love to see Altuve and Correa finish their careers together, finish the Astros' careers up the middle, potentially go get another World Series and play it out. I mean, I believe in the Astros culture. Lance McCullers and those guys that have been there, the guys that I know, that culture's there. They are a family. They're very close to it. And so, yeah, I don't want to see Carlos go to Chicago. I don't want to see him in another market. I do love seeing him in Astros uniform, and hopefully the Astros can make that happen. But if not, we understand, it's a business, and he's got to make some decisions and do what's best for his family.
Is he going to Chicago? Is that where he's going? Because there's talk about Freddie Freeman with the Yankees, which would, I don't think Carlos would be a Yankee, but.
I'm just referring to Marcus Stroman playing all kinds of devil, he's putting all kinds of tweets out there saying, come this way, come that way. So that's just the early rumblings I've heard. I'd love to see Carlos back in Houston.
How much did it hurt Round Rock that the Astros went with Sugarland instead?
The Round Rock ballpark, Dell Diamond, is impressive. It's one of the best AAA ballparks out there. And so I just know any team that comes in there, they're going to have a great operation. And truly, baseball fans are here. It doesn't matter where the team plays or what the affiliate is in there. I believe the Round Rock Express fans will show up and support Rangers, Astros, or whoever team might occupy that place.
Yeah, if the Rangers suck, though, so that kind of blows for them. Bud Norris, man, it's good to have baseball back in it. Were you a little bit embarrassed? Was it had to be an uncomfortable feeling seeing these guys fighting over the stuff that they were fighting over?
Well, I wouldn't say embarrassed, John. I'd honestly say we were prepared. We were educated. We educated the younger younger players, saying this is going to come. The CBA we knew was out. Tony Clark and their staff at the PA educated our young players, letting them know this is coming, to not be alarmed when it comes, and to stand united. And I think they did a really, really good job of forming unification and believing in the union and working together to get to this finish line. And I think the owner saw that on that side, too, said they didn't know what they had, what they were working against, essentially, in the negotiations, but they saw our unification come through, and these guys definitely were in these meetings very intensive and care. And so that being said, it's good that we have a good core, young contingency of these guys that are going to be in these meetings going forward, to continue to push the integrity of the game, the pursuit of the sport. And we knew it was coming. In the landscape, we knew it was coming. We didn't want to see it. We wanted to avoid it at all costs. But when the lockout actually came, we were unified, and our goal was to work with them and not against them and get what we all need to get back out there. So I think the fans are in a great place now to know that we're not going to miss any of this. A lot of the spring training and opening day is just around the corner, and we're not going to think about this for too much longer. But I'm excited to know that baseball is back, and we're way out there seeing them this year.
All right.
You can hear it from Bud.
Yeah.
Once a player, always a player.
No, Bud, I mean,
you refer to it as we. And
you need to take Tony Clark's place.
Well, I mean, honestly, our union is one of the strongest in the world. Its history is incredible. And I was very educated on the back end of my career. I think Tony and the leadership group have done a very good job of educating the younger players for events like these, such as the CBA. And, that's what you have to do. When you get to the big leagues, it's not about just playing baseball. It's about being professional and understanding that you're part of an elite fraternity. and you got to work with the group next to you, and knowing that there's things that are going to pop up in the business realm that you have to be aware of and take care of. I think the guys are doing a really good job of educating themselves and staying focused on what's important.
All right, before you go, if I say one at-bat that you remember most as a pitcher against what guy?
Oh, yeah.
In what situation?
Okay, it was 2016. I was playing with the Atlanta Braves. I just moved to the bullpen officially, and our starter got lit up in the first inning. So I came in like the third inning and had to, you know, pitch as long as I could. And I remember I was facing Juan Nicasio in Pittsburgh, and it was like 9-0 in Pittsburgh, top of the fourth or something. And I hit a leadoff triple, John. I hit a ball over the left fielder's head, and I'm running into second base. My former manager, Bo Porter, was the third base coach in Atlanta, and he's obviously giving me the hold-up sign. And I look at the left fielder, Gregory Polanco, and he kind of gives me one of those half arms to the cutoff, man. And I see the ball lob, so I turn the base, and I come in. I slide headfirst in the third base. I have a stand-up triple in a 9-0 game, and my Bo is like, what are you doing? You're getting fired. And honestly, I look at my dugout, and they just erupted. My entire dugout erupted. It got us back in the game. I think we came back and won the game. And it's just, for me, it was that little kid moment where I stretched a double into a triple, and I'm not getting paid to do that. You know what I'm saying? So it was really just comical, but it was the biggest hit in my career. I didn't hit a home run, unfortunately. But that triple is something that I'll never forget.
You didn't hit a homer?
No, I mean, that's what I remember. Is like I played the Cardinals so much, and I hit Chris Carpenter. I think I hit three balls off the Crawford boxes. I could never get one high enough. I mean, I hit plenty of doubles in my career, but, man, I could never get one high enough. And I had a short porch.
You were a pretty good hitter for a pitcher. A pretty good hitter. I mean,
I did go to college as a third baseman first, but unfortunately I broke my left wrist going in my freshman in college, and that was the real transition to pitcher. But, I grew up hitting, and I love that side of the game. And that was something I was talking about with a friend not so long ago. Usually when you're a starting pitcher, the other four starting pitchers that aren't pitching that day sit next to each other and they talk pitching about strategy, about pitching during the dead innings. And that's when I said I love sitting in that group and talking to those guys, but I really love going and talking to the manager and learning all of the insights of the game. So I would go pick Showalter's brain or go pick Porter's brain. And so it's really seeing all kinds of sides of the game and knowing that you're not just pitching. And that, for me, that's what the universal DH takes away. It just takes away a little bit of the tutelage and kind of strategy of the game. But that being said, it opens up another position for a guy that might not have gotten there. And it keeps pitchers doing what they do best, which is pitching.
That's Bud Norris, former Astro pitcher. Man, great talking to you. We want to have you back on when we're talking Astros baseball. And you give us some insight on what's going
John,
on.
John, I would appreciate former opening day starter for the Houston Astros. I would appreciate that.
Former Houston Astros starter, okay?
Opening day starter.
Opening day starter.
I am the first winning pitcher in Houston Astros history in the American League, and I cherish that more than anything you know.
You should have got some hazard pay for that 13 season, man. That was rough.
That was rough. You guys had a...
I got traded at the deadline. I got traded to Baltimore in the 25th hour, and it was quite a story, a crazy day to get out of there. But like you said, I'm happy to see the Astros back where they are and as a story franchise that they are.
It's funny. Back then, you went from the worst organization to one of the best. We went from Houston to Baltimore. Now, it's the exact opposite.
Yeah.
Exact opposite.
Yeah. You know, that's what you're seeing. You're seeing turnover on these teams, and it's hard to stay at the top. You got to draft well. You got stuff well at the minor leagues, and you got to go out and get some good free agents. So it's very hard to be that consistently good for a long period of time.
Which is why the Astros, it's amazing. 5 straight ALCS. That ain't easy, folks. And we'll see if they can continue to do it. Hey, Bud, thanks, man. We appreciate it. And let's do it again.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. Good hearing you. And congratulations, baseball fans. Let's get back to baseball.
Let's go. Bud Norris right here. Opening day starter. First ever opening day starter in the American League for the Houston Astros right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. All right. Yeah, let's bring them together again. We had another long interview. Oh, well, that was great. Great stuff from Bud Norris. We really appreciate it. Don't you go anywhere. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Oh, I got to talk about Champion. Oh, that's right. 9:13. It said 9:13. I was supposed to do this at 9:13, Tyler. Not now. So I'll do it now. I want to talk about Champion Energy. Champion.energy/1560. If you're looking for the best way to get into that energy. I just got my bill yesterday, as a matter of fact, and it was stupid low. It's stupid how little I pay. I'm telling you, if you're looking for the best way to get into this electricity, all electricity is the same. It's not like, wow, my F-150 is way better than your crappy truck. No, that's not it. It's all electricity is the same. Why are you paying more for it? That's the key to this thing. Pay less, get the best service. And I don't know how but J.D. Power and Associates every year says, yeah, Champion Energy has the best service. I never use them. Never call them. There's never anything wrong. I don't get it. If there's nothing wrong ever, why would you call them? I don't. You know what happens? They send me my bill. I pay them. It's easy. All you got to do is go to champion.energy/1560, champion.energy/1560.
Why don't we take a break?
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
97.5. All right, time to talk about my bookie. All right, shoot for the stars. Score big. My bookie. Basketball time. NCAA tournament. All of these tournaments that are going on right now. You knew who was going to win. Oh, my goodness. Did you have Texas Tech last night? I hope you did. Boy, we watched that game. Holy crap. North Carolina last night? Destroyed. All you got to do is go to my bookie, and you got winners. Pick winners. And listen, they have got a My Bracket contest going to go on from the 13th to the 17th. You get to sign up. You can win a Bitcoin, a Doodle NFT, or over $100,000 in cash prizes. Now, if you don't want to do that, but why wouldn't you? Because it's free to enter. What are you doing? All you got to do is go to my bookie, use promo code BET975, make your first deposit, earning a free entry into the My Bracket contest. Whether you're filling out multiple brackets, betting a national championship winner, or simply looking for player and game props, my bookie has you covered. Selections for the bracket officially begin the 13th and close March 17th. So make sure you get your deposit in now with BET975. MyBookie.ag. Promo code BET975. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with my bookie.
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, 929 ESPN 97.5, John and Lance and Tyler. Good interview, bud. I love that. He was enthusiastic. Now, that's a guy that
you like because
here,
he
right?
said that. You liked it. Yeah, he was enthusiastic. You like it because when he said, what did he say? Meet incredible people like John, or what did he
Amazing
say?
Amazing people.
Yeah, that
incredible,
was
incredible, wonderful.
Immediately cute. Lost credibility.
I mean, just
immediately
outstanding.
Lost credibility.
Outstanding people.
Tyler, can you go back to that kid from YouTube that said, I'm the best draft analyst out there, or whatever it was? Can you play some of that to just wash away
They
this
took that
stench?
Link down for false information.
No, he's
what?
Not. What?
What? That was good information. That wasn't fake news. That was good news.
Here's a tweet. Now, last night, if you didn't watch, man, Kyrie really, really D'd up James Harden. James Harden was overwhelmed by Kyrie Irving. Kyrie and somebody who was sitting there reporting on the game said Kyrie didn't say a word to him. Not a word. You know, not a lot of times there's going to be talk or whatever, nothing. And Kyrie just destroyed him. This is allegedly from a Brooklyn Nets executive on the growing rift between Kyrie and Harden. Kyrie beat James Harden one-on-one almost every day in practice. Kyrie was barely even in basketball shape. It demoralized Harden. Things reached a breaking point when Kyrie called Harden washed after completely locking him up in one scrimmage. An assistant had to break up the two as tempers flared, and the relationship spiraled. I don't know that that is true. But I could certainly see it. I don't know that that's whatever.
James Harden's washed. I mean, come on. That's the biggest thing.
Well, what I saw last night, Kyrie locked him up, bruh. I mean, James Harden didn't have a chance. And then he became disengaged.
No, I mean, he is. Do I think Kyrie is a better player than we think just because of – you know, some of the off the field nonsense that he has and on the court. Yeah. I mean, he's clearly a talented basketball player. James had an awful game. 3 of 17. And two of those points, he had 11 points. James had 11 points last night. He was awful. James tricking it up in a high profile game is nothing new. and it's become like a brand for him now. It really has. I know that the Harden apologists forever, and look, James, you've got to acknowledge the greatness of James Harden in a regular season and at times during the playoffs. But it just happens so often when there's a big highlight game, and we always talk about it being elimination games, but even a game like yesterday where all the lights were on and you're going against your old team, the team that you fat-suited your way out again, like you would think that James would really show out. And he had, I don't know, is that his worst performance of the year? I have a hard time believing he's played worse.
Well, yeah, and especially in a
they got
profile
beat 30.
Like
they got beat 30.
He was
at
minus 30
by the Nets.
They got beat 129-100. He was minus 30 on the court. Minus 30 on the court.
That's almost impossible.
Yeah, he was minus 30. That is. I mean, Philadelphia. Welcome to our nightmare. Welcome to our nightmare.
Because he's going to be great like all the other times. It's that when this happens in the postseason too, I'm just telling you, and I'm not telling you guys anything you don't already know, Joel Embiid is nice with those Twitter fingers, and he's the generation of player who is more than happy to live out all of his concerns through Twitter than as opposed to grown-ass man face-to-face talking. You saw that with Ben Simmons. That's that generation of player. They're going to let everybody else know. They're going to subtweet and have slick pictures, and they're going to, you know, have drama that you, and then they'll say, no, this is just like he did with the Nigerian guy at the meme of the Nigerian guy at the funeral to make sure that his enemy was dead. You know, he did that when Ben Simmons was, that's how he rolls. That's how this generation of player rocks, is they got to get off their scuds in a subtweet on Twitter. James isn't like that. Like, James is kind of old school in the sense that James doesn't do a lot of Twitter finger drama stuff. James is out there trying to live his best life. But at some point, you know that I could see it going. If James is the same James he's always been and starts to get a little slick, here's the thing. Chris Paul wasn't going to tweet about it. And Chris Paul's old school. He wasn't going to go and start leaking all this stuff here and there and going and doing interviews. You know who will? Joel Embiid. You pull that crap in an entire postseason and slap Joel Embiid's hand away at some point when he's talking to you, you do the stuff that you did with Chris, I promise you that Embiid will go to Twitter on you. And then it will turn into everything that ESPN wants it to be, which is storylines of drama.
Yeah. They're
waiting for it. They're waiting for it.
I think I'm waiting. You may be right on this James Harden thing. I think he's getting the max. But it depends on what he does this postseason, I think. If he pulls another stinker.
Because you can't get him a deal. Like, he has to be a great player. Because if you're Daryl Morey, you have to understand that you have to be able to get out of that. Can you give him a contract that you can get out of? Because you saw what's happened with – I mean, he was able to move Ben Simmons. And that was going to be a tough one to get out of.
Did you see Simmons laughing on the sideline?
At least he was there. At least Ben Simmons showed up.
He showed up. Unlike Mike Fiers, at least he showed up.
He wasn't going to play, but you know, he was never going to play. Danny Green said, oh, he ain't playing. He'll be injured. He ain't playing. Eh, he was right. He said that 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
He'll be injured. He was right. He was injured. But at least he came to the town, and then Philadelphia fans, did you see? They gave him a really sarcastic Philadelphia fan cheer. Philadelphia fans were also booing the Sixers. They were so pissed off last night. But that's kind of Philly.
Well, that's Philly. Yeah.
Hey, Philly fan will – if James – listen, Houston Rocket fan is a friendly, friendly group now. Let me tell you what's going to happen if he pulls some of the – of course, he'd have to be in Philadelphia for multiple years to have that happen. Philadelphia fans turned on Donovan McNabb. Philadelphia fans will turn on you in a heartbeat. Now, they will love you if you bring them championships, but they will turn on you if they think you're mentally weak. Oh, my gosh, will they turn on you.
Absolutely. And this just came out. The Green Bay Packers are going to be playing at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. So are the New Orleans Saints. The Jaguars are going to be playing at Wembley Stadium this year. The Cardinals are going to be playing in Mexico City. And Tampa is going to be playing in Germany.
You mean an individual game?
The NFL doesn't have which game it's going to be, but those teams are going to be playing in those cities.
So when my wife runs the Berlin Marathon, one of the things that as long as she runs a Berlin Marathon. I was talking to somebody from the NFL who said, oh, no, they roll out the red carpet for anything and anyone NFL. So I may be doing like a little scouting symposium over there. I may be actually working when I'm in Germany, because I knew they were going to do some stuff in Germany. Germany was a really good spot for NFL Europe. The Rhein Fire is in Germany is where some players are starting to come from. So I think you're going to see more of this. You're going to see more of that global expansion by the NFL.
Is there ever a time when the Jaguars will be the London Jaguars?
I was told no, never ever is going to happen. No. If there's a team, it'll be a brand new team.
If that happens, it'll be a brand new
team. If that happens, it'll be a brand new team. It will not be Shad Khan moving, even though you could say, you sure? I mean, I even say that now. You see all those tarps in the stands? You got a state that is perennially not into their sports teams. I mean, let's be honest here. The Miami Marlins, the Tampa Bay Rays. Now you've got – and the Bucks. You know, the Bucks have had their – with other NFL teams, that's fine. Jacksonville, I don't know that they've ever they had early success, but they've had – it's been bad for a while for them. Shad Khan, it's not gone great under Shad Khan. He's got a soccer team overseas. It doesn't seem outrageous to me that if you're going to move a team, you would move them. But the difference in time, the time frame difference, is a major, major issue when you have teams traveling over. Like if you had to go play, if you had to play eight teams, now a 17 game schedule, where nine teams had to travel to London to go play. Man, that's kind of a tough deal to get ready for the next week. What every single one of them has a bye after they go to England? I mean, was that what the NFL would have to do? They have to create byes? Well, you can't do that in week three. You can't do it in week four. They don't want byes that early. They want them when guys are beat up.
Absolutely. Here's a story on Yardbarker. Deshaun Watson could be traded as soon as Thursday.
Well, Mike Florio talked Wednesday. About that. You know what Wednesday is, right? The beginning of league year.
Yeah.
So league year officially begins on Wednesday. And if Deshaun Watson is no billed today, meaning he does not face criminal charges.
Well, the prevailing notion today. Is that he'll. It might not happen until Wednesday or Thursday.
Right, but the prevailing notion is that he will then be traded if he gets no billed, meaning there's no criminal charges.
Boy, Terry really got me bummed. I mean,
so those who missed it, why don't you tell them what Terry said?
Terry Yates is the lawyer that came on a little bit earlier in the show, and he thinks that there will be a true bill, which are charges against an indictment against Deshaun Watson. And if that happens, at earliest, a trial would be set. Now, he could plea, he could plead whatever, but then there would be an admission of guilt. And I don't know, so far Deshaun has been adamant that he is not admitting. He hasn't admitted to a thing, so I don't know that he would plead out. But it would take at least a year, and I'm guessing longer than that for this trial to end. Now you're talking about Deshaun, and we were talking about this. We actually did this yesterday on one of our videos. Is Deshaun sits for, let's say, 3 years? Goes through all of this stuff. It actually takes longer. He sits, let's just say even 2 years, Deshaun doesn't play. How much does that lower his value?
I mean, I don't think he will be a Texan, so value, you're not talking about trade anymore. The Texans aren't keeping him through that. They're going to get
their
money.
Well, if he's
back.
Exempt, what's the difference? So why not keep him? You can still grab something for him.
I don't think you have to. I think the Texans would be able to go after their money and cut ties with him from a contractual standpoint and not pay. You don't have to just pay guys to not play because they've
– Well, no, I didn't say pay. I said exempt. He could be on the exempt list.
You say exempt. They're not going to keep
him
on the exempt
list. Well, I don't know that the Players Association is going to let you give up on the contract either. So there's that.
Well, then you go to our – the Players Association can't keep you from filing.
Well, they could say, listen, he's exempt. You're not paying him.
No, you go to arbitration. The Players Association is not your boss. There's an this is collectively bargained. You get to go to arbitration.
But why would
you
do that if you're the Texans? Because when it's all said and done, you still might get something for them.
Because it's 3 years you're talking about.
So what? No, or 2 years. Maybe it's just after next year.
I just don't think they're going to do it. I don't think they're going to have Deshaun Watson sitting there for 3 years, especially if they have to pay him. You want to get out from under that.
Again, he would be exempt. He would be on the exempt list, and you wouldn't
have to pay. But you pay him through exempt, I thought.
No, you don't. You don't get money. Yes. No money. Exempt list.
You sure on the exempt list?
Yes. Yes.
I'm going to double check that because we previously operated like you would get paid on the commissioner's exempt list.
Yes. No, you do not get paid on the exempt list.
I mean, you shouldn't. Yeah. I'm going to double check it right now.
Yeah. Exempt list. This isn't for employers. I'm talking about NFL exempt list.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah. 942.
Yeah, it's paid administrative leave. They do get paid, John. The NFL's personal conduct policy gives league commissioner Roger Goodell the ability to place a player on the exempt list that essentially puts him on a paid administrative leave. They get paid. As if they're on the active roster. They just don't count against the 53.
Well, then what's the difference of being exempt and not exempt? They paid him last year.
The difference is you get the roster spot.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so that's what I'm telling you.
All this time that you don't have to pay him.
No, I was under the assumption you do, which is why it's important. That's why I keep bringing up you go after the money. At some point, the Texans are not going to pay Deshaun Watson for two straight years when he's on the exempt list. They're going to get – yeah, that's what
– beat it.
But they have to go after – they have to go after his not only the contract, but also they would go after his signing bonus. You can't just give a guy free money while he's going through. You know, at the same time, you want to make sure that it's a tricky situation because he is a commodity, frankly, from a trade standpoint to help rebuild the team. And you don't want to just give up on him because he is going to bring back draft picks. But if in your particular scenario, if you lose 2 years, you can't just have him on a commissioner's exempt list.
No.
You have to file an arbitration and try to eliminate the contract and go after a contract detrimental.
Yeah, all this time I thought he was the exempt list. Make sure you don't not have to pay him, but apparently you do.
Why
and
would
therefore,
you
don't?
But it's crazy though, right?
Yeah,
why would you have to pay a guy who's going through this stuff right now? Unless you go through, you know, the process of saying, hey. You're innocent until proven guilty. Why would you take a guy's contract away from him if he's been falsely accused? Now, you and I are sitting here like, oh, I don't know, 22 people falsely accused. But, you know, the law is the law, and I think that's why the NFL has that in place. But it is crazy to assume like that a guy like Deshaun Watson who says, A, I'm not playing for you, and B, now I've caught 22 cases, and we're finding out if it's criminal. As soon as he gets put on the commissioner's exempt list, cool. We got another roster spot.
So you
open.
Get a roster
somebody.
Spot.
That's all you get.
Ugh.
That's all you get.
Beat it. Beat it, Deshaun. If he has criminal charges, okay, beat it.
You think they cut him if he has criminal
charges?
Yeah,
well, you
think
they wait him out? Honestly, this whole time
it's a
I was
long
assuming
way?
That you didn't have to pay him. Absolutely, yeah. I'm not paying him $35 million. Dollars. I'm not paying him $35 million to play golf at Wildcat and go through a criminal trial. No, that's
who
not what I'm paying $35
million. Who says he plays golf at Wildcat?
I do. He plays golf
Why
at Wildcat.
Why do you say that?
Because he does.
No, if anyone knows, it's going to be you.
Trust me. 945 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. And that's fine. He should go play golf, but I'm not paying you $35 million to play golf at Wildcat. I'm just not.
That seems like a good job, though.
Yeah, that's a wonderful job. He got $10 million for it last year. He's getting a raise, $35 million next year. No. No. Time to talk right now. And News of the Weird is coming your way next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Absolute Marble and Granite. If you're looking for the best way to get that new whatever it is, do you want that new patio? Do you want that new playroom? Do you need to redo your kitchen? Do you need to redo all your bathrooms? Do you have, is your study, it just needs to be revamped, whatever it is. And it's not just marble and granite, it's floors, it's walls, it's tile, it's stone, it's all of the things. Absolute Marble and Granite does it all. And Absolute Marble and Granite is going to come and fix that stuff up and make your house worth more. So if you've been in your home for 10, 15, 20 years, got to upgrade, people, because this is the biggest investment you've ever had. You don't upgrade those bathrooms, especially those bathrooms. That's one of the selling points to a house is, man, these are really, really nice bathrooms. I'm going to buy it. Well, you ain't going to sell it, and you ain't going to get as much as you want for it if you don't upgrade. So call Jeff Aronoff, let him come, give you an estimate, and get this job going. 713-880-2822, 713-880-2822. It's Absolute Marble and Granite.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. One of them owes me $20, but I'll let you guess which one.
Isn't it weird?
This is so weird.
Time now for News of the Weird on The Bench.
Boy, what the hell's wrong with you?
Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I don't know if Frankie's seen this. I'll have to ask her. But apparently there are convoys, Lance, trying to clean us up. Vaccine mandates and mask mandates in Washington, D.C. Well, the truckers say apparently around Washington, the drivers there are flipping them off all the time. The convoy says, hey, we're trying to straighten America up here. Why are you guys flipping us off? Well, apparently one driver said, okay, except since the Supreme Court struck down President Joe Biden's vaccine mandate and indoor mask requirements throughout the United States have been completely lifted in recent weeks, why are we still doing convoys? Lance, would you flip off a convoy if you saw one now in Texas?
I don't typically flip off anybody, not typically, but no, I think it's a little strange. You want to keep wearing your mask and wear your mask then, but yeah, I don't know that we need convoys now.
No, I think
we all know where to get our shots. You want a shot? You want a mask? They're pretty easy to find now.
Well, but you don't. Apparently, you don't need them anymore.
What is that convoy? I don't even understand this.
Well,
concept.
They blocked the entrance of Canada so that nobody could get in, and they really
right.
Yeah, they shut down a lot of.
Oh, you're talking about the old Canadian convoy.
Well, no. Now it's in Washington D.C. and they're trying to make sure that we don't have. Well, no one's taking away our rights here.
I quit all the COVID stuff. You do whatever you want. You want to get sick? Not get sick. Get shot? Don't get shot. I don't care anymore.
I don't care.
I did it for a long time. That's fine. I got
keep
my
seeing,
shots. I got it. That's fine. You do you. You get sick and you don't do it. That's fine. You get sick.
I keep seeing all kinds of tweets about where's Fauci now? When Fauci disappeared? I mean, that's all we heard was Fauci. Don't hear him anymore. Now that we don't need any masks or vaccines anymore.
Well, yeah. Why would you? Why would he be on?
Well, I don't know.
I mean,
COVID's over apparently.
Well, you want him to?
As soon as Russia attacked Ukraine, COVID was over.
Well, yeah, no, it was even before that.
Well, I don't know. The media, as far as the media.
COVID, if there was a whole article, COVID officially died like,
yeah.
What was it that took place? Something took place like, I think it was when Omicron officially diminished. It was like, okay, that's it.
Well, I still see people with masks. Okay, wear your mask. I don't care.
That's fine. Wear if you want to. I don't
care. India said on Friday that it accidentally fired a missile into Pakistan. Do you believe that they accidentally fired a missile into Pakistan?
I bet you there's one accidentally coming back.
Oops.
Hey, guys, it's a little bit of a tense time. Let's not accidentally fire missiles at each other.
Yeah.
This is kind of a tense time. Everyone talking about World War III. Let's just not fire stuff accidentally. Let's keep everything locked up.
A woman accidentally shot her boyfriend in the face after he tried to teach her how to use a gun. Do you think you should teach Nicole
how
to use a gun?
Oops! Accidentally. Oh, sorry, honey. I shot you in the face after you just taught me how to use a gun. By the way, Tommy Stark says on Twitter, oh, the Germans are going to roll out the red carpet for Zerline when he goes over. Go figure.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, if football was in Italy, you'd get the red carpet. Treatment or in Greece.
Absolutely. I better get it. Or guess what? You get a fresh one right here. The FBI arrested an aspiring young social media influencer, Lance.
Good. Let's round them all up.
Well, apparently they were able to identify and connect him to a series of robberies by identifying his sneakers in TikTok videos. Do you think you should wear the same sneakers that you steal stuff with?
100% I think you should.
In your TikTok videos.
Yes, keep doing it.
Do you think he's a smart crook?
No, that's why I want you to keep doing it, guys.
Yeah.
There's nothing better than people who commit crimes TikToking. I think it's, you know, it's the natural evolution of the criminal to now say, you know what I need to do? Like the guy who steals stuff and then puts a giant wad of $100 bills as a telephone, like a brick telephone, like he's making a phone call.
Right.
That's my favorite, that guy that gets caught. So, yes, 100%. Keep TikToking in the same clothes that you stole stuff in.
Japanese schools have banned female students from wearing their hair in ponytails. Because
high pony is sexy now, but I'm not talking school. I'm just saying in general, the high pony, this is one completely outside of school stuff. Do you like the high ponytail?
Oh, of course I do. How could
I'm a
you
fan
not?
Of the high pony.
Well, apparently the Japanese say their hair from wearing their hair in ponytails because the nape of their necks could sexually excite male students. Are you sexually excited by the nape of the neck?
No, not of
you're
any students.
You're a foot guy, aren't you?
Not of any
you
students.
You like pretty feet.
No. No, not of any students.
Like
no.
Feet.
Switch this off of student talk and
well,
we can have a conversation.
Okay, Ariana Grande, do you like the look?
I like the high pony.
You like the high pony?
The 60-pounder? No. That's a little light, isn't it?
I'm Ariana Grande. I used to be on some TV show when I was 17 years old. Look how tiny I am.
No.
No. Not a big
fan. No. She can't play through redirection. She can't rush the passer with any kind of speed to power conversion.
What hips does she have?
No. Good.
I don't know.
Thin hip, though. I mean, that can't hold up at the point of attack.
No.
I mean, it's...
Ooh.
Give me somebody with some sturdy... You want somebody with some heft to anchor down?
That's the point of attack, apparently.
John, you prefer him to have a little anchor in the gaps.
Oh, yeah. No. Absolutely.
Hold up at the point of attack. Oh, no. Now, I'm gonna set a strong edge, strong anchor here.
Oh yeah, I'm looking for a one technique.
Yeah,
yeah.
You want a zero?
I'm filling block, the zero gap.
Just eating blocks.
I want him to fill the zero
the
gap.
Jordan Davises. You're looking for a Jordan Davis.
It's not 56.
If you were single,
we're done. And Vanessa and Gallant are next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Y'all have a great weekend, everybody.
Bye, Dan.
ESPN 97.5.